Hey everyone, welcome to Taking Stock. So on the show, I love when we get to address topics that require companies to rethink their strategies and operations in light of many of the transformational changes that we see in the market. This said, there are few industries, if any, that have been forced to deal with transformational change in recent years as much as the retail industry. And this need for change has only been accelerated over the past year with COVID-19. So all this said, I'm really excited to welcome Sean Burke to our show today. Sean's a really good friend and leads our retail practice at Clarkston. He's worked with leading retail brands over the past year, helping them navigate these changes and prepare for whatever the future might hold. In today's discussion, you're going to hear us hit upon topics such as the growth of e-commerce, omnichannel experiences, how COVID has accelerated many of the trends we've been talking about for years, and perhaps most importantly, what does the future potentially look like post-pandemic? So sit back and enjoy our conversation with Sean, and we'll talk to you on the other side. Sean, welcome to Taking Stock.
Hey, Steve. It is great to be here.
I think it's fair to say that you are an avid, loyal, and longtime listener. Is that a fair assumption?
100%. This is when I see a Taking Stock episode appear in my feed, it's always the next one to go up when I take a walk and listen to a podcast around Dallas.
I'm glad you could finally join us. It's been too long, obviously. And so what do you want to talk about? We're going to talk about Big Ten football. We're going to talk about hockey.
Yeah, I think anything sports related, I'm good. Yoga is one of my new passions, so I can talk about that. But maybe we talk about like retail. And that's been like our go-to conversation piece. I feel like that would make sense.
Yeah. And, being, an Indiana alum, I'm not quite sure I want to talk about Big Ten football anyway.
Yeah. So, I don't think I want to talk about Michigan State football this year either.
Not publicly, at least. No. So yes, let's talk about retail. And I think it's been, most people listening know, I lead our consumer products practice at Clarkston. And, over the past 5 or 6 years, we have really built out through your leadership, a really strong retail practice and doing a lot of fascinating work within retail. And I've always been really interested in the other side, so to speak. And it's been, you know, obviously there's not much you could do on the consumer product side that you can't think about the interconnection within retail. If you look at what's happened over the past 7 months within our world, and if you think about COVID, there's few industries that have been impacted as much as retail has been impacted. We talk a lot across all industries, but especially within retail, how almost 5 or 10 years worth of trends have been accelerated into the past 6 months with everything going on. So talk about the state of retail pretty broadly. Talk about the state of retail over the past 6 months, just from your perspective.
Yeah. Well, I think what's interesting is before even talking about what COVID has done, it's important to level set, because if you read online posts, you'd think retail is dying and there's a retail apocalypse and the state of retail is terrible, because there's been some really big retailers over the past 3 to 5 years that have gone bankrupt and they had massive amounts of stores. And so we all saw store closing signs all over the place. Mm-hmm. But coming into this year, retail was growing. It's been growing year over year, every year for like the last 10 years. And it was in a really good place. It had just been changing. We were seeing growth of online retailers. Obviously, Amazon's been eating up things left and right. But retail was in a good place. COVID kind of changed things immediately. And the retail industry kind of was slapped across the face. And there was that initial pause of like, oh my God, what's happening right now? Where everybody had to close their stores down, minus a handful of sectors like grocery or pharmacy and convenience. But people were really forced to figure out what are we doing? And I mean, just like everybody, we didn't know at the start of COVID, was this going to be a 2 week thing, a 2 month thing? You know, we're sitting here now 6 months later, hoping that things are better by mid next year. So there was that initial pause, but then there was this mobilization of what do we do? And the trends that we've been seeing, they're big words that we use every day: customer experience, omnichannel. Like, those aren't new concepts, but everybody just had to kind of put their foot on the gas pedal if they weren't already.
Yeah. Yeah, and the acceleration of trends.
Yeah. Exactly. And dive into it. And so we all, as shoppers, right, we're forced to shift online for that first couple of months. We're starting to get back into stores now. But what we saw is the retailers that could capitalize on those different movements, because they had already invested in digital, they had already invested in e-commerce, they had solid omni-channel practices. So when they even shut down their stores, they could still ship from them and get product to us so that inventory wasn't sitting idle. They were the ones who were able to capitalize. The ones who had not done that, who really were forced to shut their stores down and kind of sit there and wait, they had a harder time of things. And we're seeing kind of, you know, that trend starting to, we're creeping out of it now as stores open with security or safety precautions in place. But it's really more of the same there.
Yeah. So would you say then that the companies that have succeeded and or are succeeding versus the companies that have closed, filed bankruptcy, and there's a ton of them, it's really the companies that were well prepared for the future, that were doing the right things in and around omnichannel, in and around creating the right consumer experience. Those are the ones that are either surviving or thriving right now versus those that really didn't have the right strategy in place. They weren't prepared to handle the situation that's been put forth.
Yeah, I think that's really fair. Now, there, to be fair, there is also a product aspect to things. If you are a retailer of fitness goods, you were in a really good place because we all got locked in our homes and realized we needed yoga mats for home or some jump ropes or something. So you got a bump from that. If you, on the other side, happen to be selling, men's suits when we all weren't going to the office anymore, you kind of had, there was nothing you could really do about that.
Right.
But in general, yeah, the companies that had that foundation to be able to pivot quickly, were in better place. And if they weren't, the companies that could at least make a quick decision and say, you know what, we don't have this, but we need it now, let's start today, were the ones who were able to quickly claw some of that back, we'll say. There were story after story of retailers that were launching things like curbside pickup in record times. And they were doing it, some of them because they had a foundation, but others because they had strong leadership that said, we have to do this. We're probably behind, but we can't wait any longer. Let's use this as a driver instead.
If you had to capture, Sean, what sticks? So hopefully the post-COVID world is not too far in the future, but obviously who knows? We can only hope and pray, right?
Yeah.
But what sticks within retail? What have we seen over the past 6 months that is just a temporary trend versus the things that are, you mentioned curbside pickup as an example. Is that something that's going to continue? You, mentioned, just the mentality. I know customers are, they used to walk the store, walk the floor, walk the stores, shop, browse. That's essentially gone away. Consumers are going in, they're going out, want to limit their exposure in every way possible. Are we going to get back to, wanting to create, an experience? I think about the transformation of a retail like Barnes & Noble, and how they try to truly create with their cafe and the lounges to try to create an experience. Are we ever going to get back to that? What's going to stick in your opinion, and what's going to potentially go away?
It's actually really funny that you mentioned Barnes & Noble, because that's one of the things I wonder about, and I think about that company in particular, specifically because for holiday season, when I go home to see my parents and my brother and my family, I always, for Christmas, go to Barnes & Noble, I wander the store, and I walk out with a book for each person. Yeah. And if that was tomorrow, I don't know that I'd be wanting to do that.
Right.
So how do they adjust their experience? And I don't think we know that quite yet. But I do think, like we said, we saw e-commerce grow. In the last couple of years, we've seen numbers anywhere between 10 to 15, 16% of total retail sales were e-commerce sales. So still a vast majority in store. The preliminary numbers are showing we're north of 20 now, from where we were. So to your point, 2 to 3 years of growth immediately. Does some of that come back? Maybe a little, but I think this forced people who had not done a lot of their shopping online, had not tried things like curbside pickup in store, to do it. And so those things are 100% going to stay. Curbside pickup, buy online, pick up in store are things that we called them big winners of last year's holiday season. they're going to be even bigger this year. And I don't see that changing. Do I think that the store experience is going to change? Yes.
Okay.
I think that retailers have shown, though, that they're resilient and creative. And the whole goal now is, how do we create a customer experience to still reflect our brand values, to give off the vibe, right, that we want to, and to be relevant to the customer. But the new inflection to that is safety. And how do we do it in a way that customers are going to feel comfortable going into a Barnes & Noble and walking around? Those stores are densely packed. Are they maybe pulling some of those tables out so that they're a little more spacious and people don't feel like they're on top of each other? I don't know, but I think that that's going to be the challenge that retailers have to solve, because ultimately people will go back to stores, maybe not in the same volume, but there has to be a value proposition for it. There has to be a reason for me to want to go to a store for something.
Yeah. And there's so many variables at play. Obviously what happens with the pandemic, is a huge impact of it. But I believe, you know, deeply believe that humans are, you know, we are social creatures.
Yeah.
And I've been saying this forever when, you know, there was this, you know, push towards, you know, e-commerce and, you know, the death of the brick and mortar store. I am not on that train at all. I believe that, again, we're humans. We want to get out. We want to experience. We like to browse. We like to be social. That's just our nature. But I think that mix of safety with experience, you know, retailers, in my opinion, were moving towards like away from just a transaction to an experience.
Yeah.
They have, over the past 6 months, it's now about a transaction. They want to get you in and out as quickly as possible. But a brick and mortar store in that situation is not competing against e-commerce. It's essentially replicating the e-commerce experience just locally, right? Within, you know, that store. Brick and mortar stores have to differentiate. They absolutely have to differentiate. And I believe the only way to do that is through an experience. So I think they need to get back there.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there's so many variables in terms of what might play out.
Yeah. And the flip side to it is also, how do you then bring that experience to the online side of the house? And, you know, websites have come leaps and bounds. And we see new functionality all the time where you have an AR or VR experience to help see, you know, what a table would look like in your living room or something like that. But how do you start to bring, if we aren't going to go back to stores and you did, you know, make your money off of providing this high touch experience, how do you bring that high touch experience online? And so we see companies doing, you know, virtual personal shopping and assistance and things like that, that allow you to start to feel that way through an online transaction. This will resonate with you. One of the things I've wanted to do all summer, and I just didn't feel like I wanted to with COVID, is I need a new driver for golf. Uh-huh. But I don't want to buy it online because I want it fitted. I don't know what to do. Like I'm not going to be a good golfer regardless, but I'd like the club to fit me properly.
Uh-huh.
And so, but the places that are around me do not have a good online booking service to like set my time. And I don't want to walk in just to be told I need to set an appointment. Mm-hmm. And I'm a millennial, so I don't want to call them. So I just haven't done it. And like, those are little things that retailers should be just kicking themselves over for not having a good answer for. But to take it to the next level, could a Golf Galaxy or somewhere set up a appointment over a FaceTime or a Skype and be able to see my swing remotely and say, based on this, like, here's some, we can give you some direction.
Based on this, pick up right. a different sport.
Yeah, exactly. You should go back to hockey. Golf is right. not your thing. I think there's, the experience has always been a piece to it. Outside of Amazon, they're competing on price and convenience, that the experience isn't there. The experience is that you're going to get your product in 8 hours. If you're not them, you're trying to bring some form of brand experience to the customer journey. And I think most retailers starting 6 months ago had to say, how do we do this in a different way?
Yep. So talk a little bit about, as the leaves start to fall and we get into the holiday season, what in your opinion is holiday shopping going to look like? And, you know, obviously retailers traditionally had relied so heavily on Black Friday, and now there's Cyber Monday. are we going to just see a continuation of the acceleration of those trends and just a huge shift towards, you know, online purchasing around the holiday season? We're going to see those numbers really tick up.
Yeah, I think so. I think this there's going to be a flatter season. Black Friday doesn't exist without lines in front of stores and people mobbing inside Target to look for the five flat screen TVs that are on discount. There are some retailers that have already said they're not going to be open on Thanksgiving because people were starting Black Friday on Thursday, and that's already been eliminated, which is actually a good thing in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So I think we are going to see a flatter season without those big peak around Black Friday and Cyber Monday, because more people are just going to be shopping earlier, and retailers know they're not going to have the same store traffic as usual. So they're likely going to run deals for a longer period of time throughout probably the months of October into November and December. I think that we will see, as I said earlier, more pickup services offered and leveraged at retailers. So places people can go pick up their product and just get out and not have to worry about being around a ton of other people. It is going to put some pressure on some of these retailers' internal systems and inventory management processes, because when you're only doing a handful of pickup orders a day, the likelihood is you'll be able to find that product pretty quickly if you don't have a lot of store traffic. If there are a ton of people in your stores and you're constantly selling stuff on the web, there's a higher chance that you're canceling orders because somebody's already picked that product up in the store. So there's going to be some tinkering with internal thresholds, I think, on that side. The overall view that I've seen so far is there's been some predictions of a flat holiday season and some minor growth. I think there's some external aspects that we don't know yet, like if there's going to be another stimulus bill that comes through and puts money in consumers' pockets or not. Hopefully, obviously, we see some growth. But I think the experience itself is going to be drastically different this year.
One thing, does your research show or you have any predictions on how retailers are managing returns? So obviously the more online purchasing and the ability to manage, you know, just as if you're acquiring product through an omnichannel experience, but also returning products. And how are retailers managing that right now? I have to assume there's an uptick in returns.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, there's been an uptick in returns for years as more things are bought online, because we're buying them without truly knowing what they look and feel like. So that number is only going to go up. There's no way around that. And managing the returns, it's a communication thing, and it's making sure that a consumer won't necessarily be mad that they have to return something, but they're going to get mad if they don't know how to go through the returns process, or if the returns process is complicated, or if they're not able to return something. So being able to just communicate upfront what that returns policy is, and then making it as easy as possible. Being able to literally drop things off at a UPS store and walk out the door is very easy. So if you're not doing that, you're creating another barrier for a consumer to have to do something. And so if I'm shipping a present out to my aunt and I don't know if she's going to like it or not, and I know that retailer does not have a good returns policy, I might not shop with them. So I don't think it's going to be a top decision point for consumers, but it does become an issue and prevents kind of those repeat customers if it's a clunky process.
And that's the beauty and the challenge of Amazon, in my opinion. I think that they have set the bar so high that whether you're a manufacturer, in this case a retailer, you absolutely need to innovate your processes. You need to improve your pricing. You need to improve your capabilities to be able to compete. You absolutely have to. So ultimately, it's raising the bar for consumers. But the fact of the matter is, whether it's shipping times, shipping costs, return policies, Amazon has set the bar.
Yeah.
So if you're a retailer, you absolutely need to hit that bar. Otherwise, you won't win.
Yeah, I mean, as a consumer, as a shopper, it's we're the benefactors of that, right? So the shipping costs that retailers eat to try to meet the Amazon next day free delivery is not insignificant. It is a lot of money. And this holiday season, we've already seen how UPS and FedEx are falling behind on deliveries because there's so many of them. You know, I've heard the phrase, every day is Cyber Monday for these guys for the last 3-4 months. That's only going to now tick up even more when gift giving gets, you know, is part of the equation too. So how do you, as a retailer, try to encourage your customers to buy earlier so you have more time to get them the product versus having to eat upgrade charges because they bought something a week before Christmas and you don't want that package to show up the day after? Because you as the retailer are likely the one who are going to get blamed, not the person who left it at their door. Yeah. So it's a tough problem. A lot of it is messaging, but some of it's internal systems too. And hopefully a lot of people get it right, because obviously we want everybody to get their presents on time.
Absolutely. Well, it's a ton of fun. I can't think of a more dynamic industry to be in right now. It was one that was evolving just in a pretty profound way prior to the pandemic. Certainly during the pandemic, it'll be fascinating to see what it looks like after. I hope you get your golf club. I hope you get fitted for a new driver. It only helps.
Yeah, fix that slice.
It's often the slicer, not the driver.
No, it's 100% the slicer
that is causing it. But thanks, Sean. I appreciate the discussion very much. Great insight you shared, and look forward to connecting again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Steve. I appreciate it.
Sean, thank you very much for a great discussion. And to all of our listeners, thank you very much for joining in as always. So back in 2008, during the Great Recession, we saw consumers trading down from higher price brands and shifting their purchases towards value-based brands. So driven by macroeconomic factors, we saw tremendous growth in private label products. And at the time, we're questioning whether or not this was the quote-unquote new normal. Many people thought the shift was purely temporary and consumers would come back when the economy came back. Many others, however, thought that this was merely an acceleration of trends and that the new normal had been established. The answer, as we've learned over the past 12 years, has been really somewhere in between. So as you think about retail, we ask the same question. Have we established a new normal? What's going to stick? What's not going to stick? Are we going to see shoppers back in physical stores? In my opinion, absolutely. Of course we are. To the extent as they were 5 years ago, absolutely not. So similar to 12 years ago, I believe the answer will again likely be somewhere in between. However, it is clear retailers need to adapt, and they need to adapt quickly, and those that don't will absolutely be left behind. So again, Sean, thank you very much for joining. Thank you all for listening, and really looking forward to future discussions on upcoming editions of Taking Stock. Talk to you all soon, and stay safe. Thanks.